Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
As you know, Apple unveiled 4 new iPhones, a new Apple Watch, and new iPads yesterday. Let's get more on that now from tech author and former technology journalist for the Chicago Sun-Times, Andy Anacco. Andy, reading all about this, and some people have said that the big news was really the iPad mini. What do you make of what we heard yesterday? What was the headline for you?
Mostly that there's nothing wrong with making already existing excellent stuff more excellent. There really wasn't anything groundbreaking, nothing really, really super exciting. Nothing like what's happening kind of like in Android space where Samsung is making some really, really good foldable phones. Microsoft is making some Android devices that are really, really good productivity stuff that does, again, innovative things, interesting new forms that we haven't seen before. Apple was actually entirely, here is our Apple Watch, here's our a couple of our iPads, here's our 4 of our iPhones. We just made each of them better in material ways. If you haven't bought one in a few years, you might want to consider upgrading because we just made the things a little bit better. There are a couple of really interesting rhubarbs, though. But other than that, I do agree with you. The most exciting thing for me was the new version of the iPad Mini. This is the super small by tablet forms version of the iPad. Runs all iPad software. But they haven't this mini version, which is just small enough to put into a jacket pocket, let's say a men's jacket pocket. It hasn't been really updated at all for 3 or 4 years. But this year they updated it to modern processor. They updated it to a USB-C connector instead of that old Apple standard that only Apple uses. The screen is larger, even though the device itself is exactly the same size. Better battery life, better camera, better everything. It's one of my favorite Apple devices, and it's good to know that Apple hasn't forgotten that it exists. They're really pushing it forward now.
One of the columnists in the Wall Street Journal wrote that business-wise, all of this makes a lot of sense for Apple. It can get more people in at the lower prices and then start steering them to more expensive models. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. One of my biggest complaints about Apple, let's say 5 years ago, was that their corporate motto seemed to be go be poor someplace else, because the minimum buy-in for just about everything was like so sky high compared to everything else. But now between their lowest price iPad, which they actually introduced in Chicago just like 3 or 4 years ago, is $329. They made serious upgrades to that this year, and it's one of the greatest bargains really anywhere in technology right now. Similarly, yes, the new iPhones and the new Apple Watch, they're both the same sort of entry point as far as prices they've always been. But the thing is that they're keeping the older models in the product line so that if you haven't gotten an Apple Watch before, or maybe you want to buy one for your kids, you can buy a lesser version, but still a great version, for as little as $199. You can buy an iPhone for as little as $399. And maybe it's because Apple's becoming more egalitarian, but it also could be that they're finally feeling like competition pressure from Android, from other places, and they realize that, oh, Google is actually making a superb phone for $350. We had better make sure that we also have something for the people who are coming into the AT&T store with less than $500 in their pockets, too.
And the Apple Watch, there are no additional health sensors in the latest models, are there?
No, it's exactly the same. As a matter of fact, we're starting to break. The day after is when we start to break down from our sources that aren't supposed to talk. And so there is some talk going around that it actually even uses the exact same CPU as last year's model. They did add some extra software and some extra features. So, for instance, if you ride a bike, there's more fitness tracking for biking, especially for e-biking. They also, most significantly, they added officially certified dust dust resistance. So for a watch that they're really, really stressing is supposed to be a fitness watch, an exercise watch, an activity watch, now it has an officially certified resistance against dust ingress. So if you do take a spill off of your bike, you eat it into the dirt and the sand, hopefully one of the things that breaks is not going to be the watch now.
Apple begins taking orders Friday for the four new iPhone models. They're going to be available September 24th. And Andy, when is the next time new products will be introduced? Is this supposed to hold us for a year?
No, not at all. Traditionally, we see a September event, which they introduce new iPhones and new Apple Watch. Usually in October or November, we will see either a new desktop or, excuse me, an updated desktop or a MacBook Pro. There is a very, very strong rumor that Apple is going to be introducing a new version of the MacBook Pro, a total redesign physically. So a lot of the baggage from the 2016 design is going to be gotten rid of. The 2016 design was a real low point for MacBook design. So it seems as though they're not going to admit that they were wrong on five different places that I've been pestering them about for the past since 2016. But it does look like they're going to be fixing that. Also, hopefully we're going to be seeing the next generation of those new Apple Silicon Mac CPUs. So some of the limitations of the first generation CPUs that came out last year with the Mac Mini, the iMac, and the MacBook Pro and the MacBook Air will be addressed, like being able to attach more than one display to your MacBook, having being able to have more high-speed connections to high-speed devices at the same time. The ones they introduced last year are excellent, but it's clearly that was the first thing out the gate, and now we're hopefully going to see this is not just Apple showing off that, okay, don't worry, we have our own CPUs, but they work, they're not a risk, they're terrific, and now they're going to start going to, now we're going to see you, show you exactly what these things can do. So hopefully we're going to see that next month when they introduce the next version of the Macintosh operating system.
And as far as the phones and the watch go, anything really dramatic as far as extended battery life?
No, I think they, on both cases, on the Apple Watch, they made a case, and all these wonderful features come at the same all-day battery life. But with the iPhone across the board, they kept saying, hey, compared to the iPhone 12 last year, the iPhone Mini last year, an hour and a half more battery life. If you have the larger version of the phones, they're talking about 2.5 hours of battery life. And actually, if we have a moment, that gets into one of the rhubarbs that a day later we start to get into as we start really dissecting what they said during the presentation. A lot of people, myself included, noted that, wait a minute, that every time that they mentioned how much faster the new CPU and the new iPhone is, et cetera, et cetera, but they've always said that, hey, it's now 40% faster than last year's iPhone. This year, they're making comparisons to Android phones, like it's the most powerful CPU in any phone anywhere, or it has a faster GPU performance than a comparable Android phone, which is making some people speculate or wonder, is that because they're starting to hit a wall in terms of how much improvements they can make to their existing iPhone CPU architecture? Or is it just that, hey, look, this is already overpowered as hell. Let's preserve battery life rather than trying to give a performance jump that no one is even ever going to be able to appreciate. We don't know yet, but it's something worth noticing.
Great job breaking it down for us. Andy Anacco, he contributes to WGBH in Boston. Good to have you on WGN. Thank you, Andy.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good day.